Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are The Stranger, Exit 8, and Dracula.
I am pleased to report that I have three pretty good movies to talk about today. That doesn't happen every week. They're very different from one another, and they're certainly have not equal levels of merit, but they're all pretty good pictures of their own kind. So I want to start with The Stranger, which is a French movie by a very fine and long-standing French filmmaker named François Ozon. And I've admired many of Ozon's movies over the years, but I don't think he's ever made a better one than The Stranger, which is based on the very famous existentialist novel by Albert Camus. And so it's a very well-known novel, and the movie adheres quite closely to the plot and the general concerns of the novel. So I'll just give a little bit of a summary here of what the thing's about. It's a very, very interesting story, and it's certainly been in my mind for many decades. And again, this movie is a faithful and very well-done adaptation of it. So the main character of The Stranger, both the novel and the movie, is a man named Merceau. Played in the movie by Benjamin Voisin. He's an outsider. The novel has sometimes been translated into English with that title, The Outsider, which I think is actually a better title than The Stranger in some ways. In any case, he is someone who has a job and he has a life and he sort of goes through the routines of everyday living without any particular enthusiasm for anything. But he's just a guy and he does not feel very strongly connected with the society or the world of which he is a part. That is who he is. And what happens is that he gets involved with an old friend of his who is having a big fight with his girlfriend. And she is an Arab. This is a movie which deals very, very much with colonial culture, with France's colonization of Morocco and of much of the North African world in days of yore. This is not a movie that takes place in the present day. It's a movie that takes place, let's say just several decades in the past from now. So Merceau gets involved in this situation with his old friend who is having a great ruckus with his girlfriend. And the girlfriend's brother at one point confronts Merceau and cuts him a little bit with a knife. It's a very, very unpleasant incident. Merceau later on seeks out the Arab brother and shoots him and kills him, and then goes on trial for his life and then eventually ends up in jail with a death sentence. And that's where the whole thing comes to an end. So what is The Stranger about? Is it just this very unpleasant story about this guy who gets involved in these awful things and kills somebody? Well, it is very much about the philosophical implications of all of this sort of thing. As I said before, Merceau is somebody who has never felt quite at home in the world, but doesn't exactly feel uneasy in the world. It's more like he feels a great apathy toward the world, toward society in general. He does his job. He does it okay. At one point, he's offered a transfer to another office in a very different place, actually in Paris. And he says, all right, if you want me to, okay, I'll do it. And that's kind of his attitude toward everything is, okay, I don't really care one way or the other. Here we go. All of this comes to a kind of a climax when he is in jail under his death sentence, and a priest comes to visit him. And he basically argues with the priest and gets very upset with the priest because he says, I don't care whether there is a God or not. I don't care whether you have anything you can offer me or not. I just know that I'm going to be beheaded pretty soon. This is in the days of the guillotine. And that's really all that matters. And I don't even care about that very much. In fact, what I hope, my last wish, the only thing I care about now is that as I am walking up to the guillotine to have my head chopped off, the crowd yells nasty things at me, because at least that would bring some meaning into the whole thing. This all comports with Albert Camus' philosophy, which is that the universe does not care about us human beings. It is a meaningless place, and we must create our own meanings from moment to moment as we live our lives. That, I would say, is right at the core of the novelist Albert Camus, the philosopher Albert Camus' philosophy of life. And Meursault is somebody who has not really succeeded in doing that. He has not really succeeded in creating his own meaning, which leaves him with the indifference of the universe. The only thing that gives him a little bit of hope, I won't say hope, of comfort, is the fact that he himself is indifferent to the indifference of the universe. All that sounds very, very dark and dismal, and it sounds like The Stranger is maybe not a very pleasant movie to look at. It is beautifully photographed in gorgeous black and white. It is marvelously well acted, and it just conveys this very provocative and fascinating and endlessly thought-provoking novel to the screen in very effective ways. It reminded me a little bit about a very recent literary adaptation of one of Patricia Highsmith's great novels. Ripley was the name of it, starring the great Andrew Scott. And it was also filmed in gorgeous black and white, and it was also a very close literary adaptation. The Stranger reminded me of that. I highly recommend The Stranger. Maybe read the novel if you haven't already. Think about it. It's a fascinating thing, and it's a wonderful, wonderful movie. Probably the best movie I've seen so far this year, The Stranger. Terrific movie. Next movie I'd like to talk about is Exit 8. Very, very different from The Stranger. It's a movie from Japan. It is based on a video game, and that is not the kind of movie I would normally be into. I'm not a video game person. But this is just an interesting movie. It's not terribly long, so roughly an hour and a half. So many of today's movies are just much, much, much too long. And it's a kind of a minimalist film. It really is, and I rather like minimalist things. I always, that sort of economy generally kind of appeals to me. In this case, though, it's a very unusual minimalist film. You have to sort of sink into it, get into its rhythms, which are pretty slow. But if you do that, I just found it pulled me in and it held me. And that doesn't always happen at the movies. So here's what Exit 8 is about. There is a man, we never find out his name. He is on a subway at the beginning of the movie, and probably in Tokyo, definitely in Japan. And he sees another person on the subway car yelling at a young woman whose baby is crying. And our main character, who eventually is identified as the lost man, he doesn't do anything. He just tries to ignore this, and then he gets off the subway when his stop comes. This turns out to have reverberations way, way, way later on in the movie, but it's not what the movie is about. He gets off the subway car. He's talking a little bit with his girlfriend, who has just found out that she's pregnant and she's at the hospital, and she wants him to come and visit her there. And so he decides, okay, here I go. I'll be there. There's no more cell phone signal, so he just starts to leave the subway station. And that is what the entire movie is about. Our young man, again, identified only as the lost man, is in this subway station and he can't find his way out. It is simply impossible. He is stuck. Every time he turns a corner, he comes to another sign identifying the same exit he just thought he was heading toward. Then he sees a sign which gives him a little instructions. It says, if you see an anomaly, turn around and go back the other way. Well, what does that mean? Well, okay, he starts looking for anomalies. He starts making sure that every time he walks past a few signs on the wall, they're the same signs in the same order, that the vents and the doors and so forth are in the same order. And every once in a while, something is not in the same order. So he follows the instruction. He turns around and goes back the other way, always looking for his exit, which is exit 8. Never getting to it, at least not for most of the movie. I won't give away the ending. So that is much of the movie. It's the whole first part of the movie, is the lost man being lost in this subway station, looking for the way out and never managing to get to it, running into these little anomalies and having to turn back and go the other way. It's a kind of a horror movie, but it's a gentle sort of a horror movie. There's a few moments of shock that very, very strongly recall Stanley Kubrick's great classic, The Shining, but mostly we have our lost masked man wandering around the subway station until, long into the movie, we have a second character. We've seen him a little bit earlier because sometimes the lost man has passed him, but he is known as the walking man. And he appears to be equally lost in the subway station. And he has a little boy with him who he just met in the subway station. So he too is looking for the exit, making much better progress than the lost man, by the way, although that doesn't necessarily mean that he succeeds in the end. And then the third part of the film, getting near the end, is about that little boy who is simply known as the boy. So that is what this movie is. It is about people looking for their way out of a subway station, which has some kind of supernatural, otherworldly quality where it turns into a maze and it seems to be impossible to get out of. And then you keep having to go back and go the other way when you run across one of these things that somehow has changed or doesn't quite fit. One of the things that we see on the wall as a sort of a poster is a work by the great artist E.M. Escher, who of course specialized in this kind of thing, in mazes that had no way out, impossible configurations of geography and architecture. And that is very much what Exit 8 is like. In a way, it's a kind of a blend of a video game and an E.M. Escher painting or engraving or something, and then just a horror movie, maybe like Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. Again, there's very little overt horror in this movie. There is some, but mainly it is just a very engrossing and oddly enchanting film about people who are lost. Now, I must say, sometimes when I talk about movies that involve heights, people going up to high places and being in danger, I always enjoy those kinds of movies because for me, they're horror movies. I myself have a fear of heights. I'm an acrophobe. And so it's fun to watch that kind of thing, mountain climbing and the like, in a movie. For me, it's fun. This movie, Exit 8, is like that too. I very easily get lost. I have no innate sense of direction. I'm always having to reorient myself and somehow figure out where I am and where I'm going. And Exit 8 reminded me of that. So if you share that characteristic with me, you'll find Exit 8 even more of a horror movie. But mainly, it's more like a game. It's more like a dark sort of a game that you play as you watch the movie and you try to figure it out along with these three people who are somehow lost in there. So I found it to be just kind of an engrossing and involving and engaging experience. It's a weird one, but I had a good time at it. I kind of recommend Exit 8. And finally, Dracula. This is a new movie by the French filmmaker Luc Besson. And I approach this with trepidation because it's well over 2 hours long. And Luc Besson makes kind of action and big spectacle movies that are not, generally speaking, my cup of tea, to use a cliche. Also, there's another Dracula circulating around right now, which I want to warn people about. The very, very fine Romanian filmmaker recently made his version of Dracula, and it's terrible. It's just awful. I'm sure it's the worst movie that Radu Jude has ever made, and one of the worst movies I've seen by anybody in a long time. So stay away from the Romanian Dracula. But this French Dracula, I really ended up rather liking it. It's a good movie. So it is the same old Dracula story. It really is. Very few variations, some variations, but not a whole lot of them, on the very fine Bram Stoker novel that's been around for a very long time now and has been adapted about a jillion times already. We have the movie starts in the 15th century when Dracula has this great love of his life and then she dies and then he is full of rage and he's especially angry at the priest who did not manage to pray her back into health. And so he sort of declares himself the enemy of God. So next thing you know, we're about 400 years later and we're in the 19th century. And there we have our main character and he's still around and he's still an enemy of God and he's still a very malign figure and he lives in this old, old home, and he's now grown old and full of weirdness. He was young and full of weirdness at the beginning. Now he's old and full of weirdness, and he is still searching. He has been searching for 400 years for that lost love of his who died so long ago. And is he ever going to find her? Well, we'll see. So we have our main character played by Caleb Landry Jones. The other most important character is a priest who comes into the case, played by the very fine actor Christoph Waltz. Now, he's a good actor and he does a very fine job as the priest. He's a very benign figure. Of course, Dracula, or as he is known through most of the movie, Vlad, is a very malign figure. And so, as usually happens in this story, we have the priest comes in and now he's on the case. And there's also a physician who is trying to solve this whole problem of somehow finding out who this person is and somehow preventing him from doing evil through scientific means. And we have the priest who is trying to do so through spiritual, theological, churchly means. And so we have these two, and they are working very much in conjunction with each other. They get along. They're not representing the war between science and religion. They are actually collaborating very nicely as they look for Vlad and try to find him and prevent him from doing evil. And ultimately, yes, Vlad does find the lost love, and I won't reveal what happens from there on. So, yes, it's an old story that has been adapted so many times, and maybe you've read the novel, which is a fine novel, and there's nothing new or very little new in that respect. What makes Dracula for me, this Dracula by Luc Besson, worth looking at is looking at it. It's just a visually compelling movie, full of spectacle, full of color, full of all kinds of wonderful things and sometimes horrible things to look at, look at, look at. It's a cinematically really treat of a movie. That's it, a cinematic treat, I have to say. I felt the same way about the recent Frankenstein adaptation that came out just last year. Also, just gorgeous to look at. So, you won't like Dracula if you are looking for something new, but if you're looking for an eye-filling version of the classic tale itself, I really recommend this new Dracula by Luc Besson. It's a good, good, solid horror picture. So that is my really fairly horrific story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films The Stranger, Exit 8, and Dracula.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.